With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mentioned earlier, Dan Coleman's a guy you can talk about a couple different things with that are pertinent and germane to this town, this city right now, our audience for sure. He's a former Gopher basketball player, so is his brother. And he owns real estate, including in South Minneapolis, right across the street from Cup Foods, and has for a while. And so he's seen some things down there that most of us don't see on a regular basis, and understanding that culture and what's going on down there is a critical part of, a critical piece of being a business owner and trying to figure out what it is you want to see next there. But Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how did it strike you, the firing of Richard Pitino?
To be honest, it's been so busy. I've been here in the outskirts, and I heard of that, and I know some of the candidates that have been going up.
Yeah.
I think it's complicated. I think he had a good run, and, you know, like any coaching tenure, you know, they do come to an end, and that's probably just the simplest answer for that one with him.
You know, there's a lot of conversation about who will be the next coach and how do you recruit. Take us back, because you went from Hopkins to BC and then came back to Minnesota. What was the recruiting process like back when you were in high school? What led you one direction and then back?
My relationship with Troy Bell and Renee Pulley and Howard Pulley, they had BC had just gotten to me really early. Al Skinner and Coach Cooley recruited me really early. But I just didn't really like being out in Boston, to be honest. I went out there for summer school and didn't like it. And then I reached back to the U. James Ware helped kind of facilitate me getting back. So that's kind of how that happened. And I enjoyed being at Minnesota. I don't regret that decision at all.
I can't. So the coach was Munson then, right?
Yep.
And so they kind of re-recruit you, came back, and had a lot of fun?
Yeah. No, I enjoyed playing in front of the family greatly.
What's your impressions of Williams Arena?
Well, now it's all shiny and new floors and everything, so it's nice. There's a lot of upgrades to the U since we went there, but I like Williams Arena a lot. Nice. I hope they never lower the floor. But yep. Other than that, I mean, a lot of nostalgia.
And so for players, it was a fun place to play on or not?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the raised floor actually is an advantage. A lot of teams don't die for the ball at the barn.
It's true, because you it gets in the back of your head, doesn't it? And you keep thinking you're going to go on a 6-foot drop.
Yep. And they don't make that play. So I think that shows up in a few plays here and there every game.
Who was winning the Big Ten when you were at the U? I don't remember. I remember the Gophers, but I don't remember who was winning the Big Ten at that time. Michigan State was one of them, right?
Michigan State, yes. I think we had Ohio State had a monster year, and then also Illinois. I'm not sure which one it was, junior or senior year, but I think those two won the Big Ten my junior and senior year.
You know, and did you go to an NCAA tournament or not?
We did. My freshman year, we went to the NCAA tournament. We were on the bracket with Iowa State.
Iowa State bounced you in the first round, right?
Yep, got us.
Well, was that fun? I mean, do you remember that? I mean, everybody dreams about being in the NCAA tournament. Do you remember what that was like to get your name called on Selection Sunday?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a great experience. I think it as a freshman, you don't, like, maybe appreciate the moment.
Sure, because first of all, you think you're going to go all 4 years, right?
Exactly, and then, obviously getting bumped out. But we never made it back there, so it was a special moment. We just didn't know it at the time.
You had a chance to play for Kenny Novak Jr. as well. That's a pretty, I don't care if you're talking college, pros, whatever, that's a pretty good basketball mind, isn't it?
Yeah, playing for Coach Novak was great. He's really good with letting talent be talent and then putting them together in a way that wins games.
Yeah, playing smart basketball, right?
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Now, I mentioned your location. You have real estate, but one of the parcels, the commercial buildings, is right. Last time I saw you, you and I were over having lunch at your restaurant there on 38th in Chicago, right across the street, literally, from where George Floyd lost his life. And you and others have been telling me, and this was a long time ago, about your concerns about the danger of that area, because when traffic comes to a stop, foot traffic is free to flow and move around, and to put it in simple terms, the bad guys have lots of easy ways and easy access to get out after they've done something bad. Tell me about what it feels like right now down there and how the business community is responding to it.
Well, it's been for sure really tense. I think the closure of the space, I think it should be opened up, and it, you know, just to have traffic and, you know, medical and police and everybody can go in there. Right now it's been very tense. It's basically choking out the businesses, if I'm being just really upfront, because, you know, deliveries can't go in and out, customers can't go in and out. So that area, business-wise, is suffering greatly.
I never thought about that. So, for example, if you are over at Just for Turkey, or your buddy Sam Willis is a partner in, just to make deliveries, I mean, you got to have a vehicle that can park close, right? Otherwise, it becomes very cumbersome.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, the real-life application shows up where the DoorDash, the Grubhub, all those delivery services, they can't get in there early or easy enough. So then they end up, the drivers cancel the order, so then the restaurant loses that business.
Not to mention the fact that someone probably don't want to come in there right now.
Yeah, all of the above.
So when you say there's tension, what is it? I mean, is there a gang element there? What do you see? What do you feel?
There's a lot. I mean, it's for sure that element there. There's for sure, civil rights agendas there. There are people there for prescribed or self-assigned security reasons. It's really hard to differentiate the group and all the agendas, but it's not equating to a safe environment.
So, like, do you feel comfortable walking out the door if you wanted to just walk in that area or not?
At 8 in the morning, that's perfectly good, but, you know, certain hours, maybe at evening, maybe not. I don't go over there much at night.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell, I've always been curious about this, can you identify, for lack of a better term, who the good guys are and the bad guys are, just with a visual inspection? Can you tell who's out there up to good and no good, or is it hard for you to differentiate?
There's a lot going on, but, you know, we're in the area enough. I mean, when people are driving cars without license plates, that kind of goes without needing to explain too much. And there's some things going on in there that just, you know, if the streets were open and there could be a normal flow of traffic and stuff, that sort of behavior wouldn't be going on.
So what you guys have kind of come together with a group. What have you tried to advise and what progress have you made in trying to stick up for yourselves?
Yeah, there was a few meetings with the city, and they were very receptive to the comments and stuff. I mean, there's so many different agendas in George Floyd Square. So, you know, the city could realistically be taking meetings for, you know, a long time to listen to everybody.
Sure.
I think some people are getting clumped into some groups that aren't necessarily in agreement. And it's just a very, like, socially complex scenario and problem.
What do you think is the best solution to pay homage to and respect to what happened there with some kind of a monument or memorial, and yet allow kind of free commerce and traffic to flow through there? In your mind, what's the best solution?
Well, I think he for sure has to open it up. I do think, you know, a monument of some sort is very appropriate. I don't know if a roundabout is realistic with a footprint of that size, but for sure something on the cup food side, like a bump out off the sidewalk and, you know, maybe moving the fist. I think that all makes a lot of sense. It's just hard to say, you know, what makes sense, because there's so many different groups that feel so many different ways. So at the end of the day, some group's not going to be happy, but I do think the ultimate overarching answer is you got to open up the streets so this normalcy can happen in that area for the families, for the communities, for the businesses, for everyone.
Is this something that you felt since the incident back in May, or is this something that evolved over time and this kind of criminal element came in there and made itself its presence known and made it difficult?
I mean, it just was a free space, so I think that's going to attract a certain element. But, I mean, I think you could, you know, if you wanted to lean on statistics, I mean, I think, you know, citywide, you know, there's some crime issues that are going on. And I do think that, you know, people may be using that area as a safety spot to do a crime and then maybe come back there as a fallout or a safe area. But it's just, I think it's kind of run its course. It kind of, it needs to get cleaned up over there.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where enough is enough. But as an owner, too, I mean, the value of your building and everything else and trying to attract tenants, it's a pretty tough game right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I do a lot of low-income housing, and some of my tenants there, you know, we moved in from the homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. So that tenant, they're not really complaining. But, yeah, in general, it would be a really tough scenario. It'd be a very tough scenario to be able to rent that with any sort of normal scenario.
If someone says to you, Dan, I'm going to go down and check out the George Floyd, you know, they come from another state, let's just say, and I want to see this, I want to feel this history, what would you tell them? Would you say don't go? Would you say go early in the morning? What would you tell them?
I'd say go early in the morning and go with someone from the area just as a precaution. But, I mean, I do think, you know, from the stories from my tenants and you know, all that, that in the evenings and, you know, if you look at reports and stuff, it gets pretty, it's a dangerous area. It's a dangerous situation at the moment.
And as this trial moves along, do you worry a little bit that could end up being a focal point of, you know, if there's a protest or riots or something that would be akin to that, do you worry that's a powder cake right now that could explode any time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, like, I think that that's already kind of happened. I think the last few weeks in that area have been even, you know, higher or more stressful than prior. So I think, you know, I think all that's coming to fruition.
Mm. That's kind of scary stuff, driving down there every day, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. You know, we've been dealing with it, kind of have an idea what's going on. I could do most of my business at the building earlier in the day. But again, in the evening, that's a totally different animal.
But to think that you even have to think about that is scary.
Correct.
You know, and to think that you have to, you know, design your schedule around that is a little unnerving. How's Sam holding out?
Sam's doing all right. I talked with him a little bit last week. He's doing well. He had a scary event just outside of his building. That he's okay with, but yeah, I mean, I think I can speak for Sam also. He says that the, you know, opening up the streets and getting things kind of leveled out is a good idea.
Yeah, and I'm not telling people to go there because I don't want them to go there and feel unsafe and all that might go with it. But if you went there, you'd understand, right, Dan? Because you kind of got to see the blockage and what people mean by the traffic flow, etc. It's kind of hard to explain, but when you go down there, you go, okay, I see. This is very cumbersome, and you can't get through, and you got to walk from a block away. That leaves a lot of people vulnerable and a lot of people some kind of getaway lanes as well. But you almost have to see it, and I don't want to tell people to go down there right now, but you do almost kind of have to see it to understand what they have to do to open it up, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, even simple things like they can't get garbage in there correctly. Snow removal has been compromised. So everything in that area that would be just a normal functioning, you know, city deal, they can't get in there to do what they need to do.
Like when you're, if you walk on the street over there, do you have a certain street cred because you grew up here, because they know who you are, because you're a big guy? Does that help a lot or not?
To be honest, I don't really know, but I mean, it, you know, some of the stuff going on over there, I don't think anything would really discriminate from something.
There's no respect factor there, huh?
I mean, you know, if you're in the area and, you know, some people do know you, I'm sure that doesn't hurt the scenario, but, you know, what's really going on over there is a lot of gun violence, and gun violence doesn't discriminate. Those are just stray bullets moving around. So that's where it's the scary part.
Wow. What do you tell your tenants? Just lay low?
I mean, they're telling me what's going on a lot of the times because they're there all the time. But, yeah, I mean, I have, you know, three single mothers that live above the Dragon Walk restaurant. And, you know, one of them is just had a baby. So these, like, these things that we're talking about, like, that's not healthy stuff.
No. Is there any code that way for you know, someone that that you can see has a child or something like that on the streets? Or do all the rules kind of go out the window right now?
I would hope so, but again, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's an interesting situation, but I think, you know, I don't think there's any codes or anything, any rules. I think things are just happening there organically, and it just kind of is what it is.
And how's the Dragon Walk doing? It's good food.
Yeah, Dragon Walk, to be honest, is not doing well for those reasons.
Yeah.
And with the delivery, a big part of his business is delivery. So, you know, clearing the streets and allowing delivery services to come in will help his business a lot.
And if I come over there, can we have the Mugu Gaipan?
Yeah, yeah. And the chicken lo mein.
Chicken lo mein's pretty good, too?
Yep.
I'm kind of a Mugu guy now, but I like the vegetable-chicken combination because it seems like it's pretty healthy, right?
Yeah, that's what I tell myself.
You and me both, buddy. And so are chocolate chip cookies and Girl Scout cookies and chocolate-covered peanuts, right?
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Hey, good to talk to you, Dan.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Say hi to Joe.
Will do.
All right, Dan Coleman, former Gopher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.